As we begin this message today, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 3. The third chapter of Ephesians is where we're coming from today. Third chapter, starting at the 14th verse. And it reads, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all of the fullness of God." The topic today is a pastoral prayer for the people of God. A pastoral prayer for the people of God. And Paul is writing this to remind them, the residents of Ephesus, who are now Christians, he is writing this to remind them of the importance of taking care of their spiritual condition. And I think this is so fitting for the times that we live in, that we need to constantly be reminded to take care of our spiritual condition. Now, Paul wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus, the Ephesians, while he was in prison. He was separated from them by a great distance, and he was bound up in prison. You know, as we are separated, we are physically distanced. We long to see one another. We long to be with one another. But it's prudent that that not happen at this time without certain precautions. So therefore, we need to pray for one another. Paul was a man who believed in prayer. And he believed in the power of prayer. And he rejoiced in the privilege of being able to pray for people. Now, in this prayer, there are four petitions for his saints in Ephesus, that they may be fulfilled and equipped to accomplish the purpose of God in their lives. So I want to share those with you now, briefly, those petitions. And I'll give you a chance to write them down right now before I get started. Number one, he prays for inward power. He prays for inward power, not external power, but power on the internal. Number two, he prays that Christ may dwell in their hearts. Third thing he prays for is full comprehension of the God that we serve. And the last part, he prays that we live in the fullness of God. We live in the fullness of God. So as we look at this 14th verse, Paul says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." In the King James translation, it says, "for this cause." But what he's saying is, for the reason of everything I have explained up until now in this letter to you, my brothers and sisters in Ephesus, I have laid out God's purpose for the church. I have laid out salvation through Jesus Christ only, which is a gift from God. I have laid out how I have been blessed to share this gospel with you. So therefore, as he has informed them, therefore, as he has educated them, therefore, as he has poured out to them, he is saying, for this reason, this is the reason I bow my knees to the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. I bow in adoration. I bow in respect. I bow in submission. I bow because I love God and I love each and every one of you, is what Paul is saying. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And let's look at verse 16. That's the first point. Inward power. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. He is praying that God, in the riches of his glory, that will strengthen us with power, with power. You know, so often we look at people on the outside and we look at how they look to determine their strength. But don't you know that strength is at the core of our being? And our strength is strengthened through our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He is praying that they have power that is divine. He is praying that they have power that is communicated by the Holy Spirit. He is praying that they have power that is experienced in the inner person, in the inner person. The presence of the Holy Spirit comes at salvation. It comes in our relationship with Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 tells us that if you are of the Spirit, God dwells with you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So if we want to be strengthened spiritually, we have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And through that, we have power. The power that comes through the Holy Spirit is needed for us to maintain day in and day out. This is a prayer for inner spiritual strength. This is the work of God from his Spirit to our spirit. And he asked that that be strengthened in us. Strength. You know, when you are trying to glue something together, you look for a glue that has strength. And as we peruse the aisles in looking for a particular adhesive, we have to determine the material that we are trying to glue together. You know, there are different glues for different objects. If you're trying to glue fabric together, there is a certain type of glue. If you're trying to glue wood together, there is a certain type of glue. Metal together, there is a certain type of glue. If you're trying to strengthen, if you want a bond that held, that holds true, regardless of the elements, you have to find that glue that is appropriate for those elements. As we as Christians, as we as followers of Jesus Christ, We know the glue that strengthens us, and that is the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. No other help I know. For as was sung earlier, all of my help comes from the Lord. So he's praying for inward power for them, that they would be strengthened with his might through his Spirit in the inner man. You see, Paul knew that as Christians, everything would not be sunshine and happiness in their life. He knew that they would have turbulent times. He knew that they would have times that would test their strength. He knew that they would have times of persecution. He knew that they would have times when they would need that strength that only comes from the Lord. And my prayer for us, as we are in fifth or sixth month, I lose count of staying at home, of restricted movements, of being cautious in everything we do and everything we touch. I'm here to remind you today that our strength comes from the Lord. Second thing he prays for in verse 17, that Christ dwells in their heart. Look at verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Now, to dwell someplace is to settle down and feel at home. Does Christ feel at home in your heart? That's the question for today. But the more you trust him, the more comfortable he dwells in your heart. And he prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It is through our faith that he dwells in us. It is through our faith that he settles down and feels at home with us. And that you, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded in love. Grounded in love. Think about it. When I think of rooted, I think about plants. And there are certain plants that need to go real deep with their roots. There are two reasons, one for nourishment and one for stability. Likewise, we must have our spiritual roots deep in the love of Christ. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8 reads, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreads out her roots by the river and shall not see when the heat comes. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And what Jeremiah is saying is, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. And he uses of an analogy that really says that this person is like a tree that is resilient in all seasons. This is like a tree who is rooted and grounded close to its nourishment, so that when the hot days come, the leaves will not turn brown, but remain green. When drought comes, it will still yield its fruit. And that's the same thing in Ephesians 3:17. That Paul is praying for his people, that we be rooted and grounded in love, that we be rooted and grounded in the love of God, so that regardless of what comes our way, we know that all is well with my soul. a prayer that Christ may dwell in our hearts, rooted and grounded. Now, grounded, when I think about grounded, I think about being at a solid foundation, the most important part of the building. Isn't it interesting that when you see a building being built, it seems like they take forever to get the land straight, to get the foundation straight. And then once that happens, the rest of the building goes up in a matter of weeks. Isn't it interesting? Because they know what the important part is. They know that unless they get the foundation grounded properly, anything else built upon it will not last. Rooted and grounded in love. Love, my brothers and sisters, will keep us together. And as we look at the 18th verse, he continues his prayer by desiring a full comprehension. Let's look at that. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height. Paul is praying that his readers might fully understand that which is hard to understand. It is hard sometimes to explain to others the feeling we have through our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's hard to explain to others the depth of our love for Jesus. That's because each of us has to receive that for ourselves. And his prayer is that they may comprehend what Jesus is all about and how he died for us to save us. He wants to comprehend all the saints, what is the width, the length, the depth, and height. Wide enough. Don't you know we serve a God who is wide enough to reach the whole world and beyond? We serve a God who is long enough to stretch from eternity to eternity, high enough to elevate us to heavenly places in Christ. And we serve a God who is deep enough to rescue people from the effects of sin and the grip of Satan. David once said, I almost slipped. I almost forgot who you are, Lord. I almost forgot my relationship with you, Lord. And I was looking at my current circumstances. And I had questions, Lord, where are you now? He said, I almost slipped. I almost forgot my relationship with you. There are so many dimensions to God's love, but Paul wants us to grasp and understand how much God loves us. Sometimes we ask our significant other, our mates, how much do you love me? Or more importantly, we might be asked, show me how much you love me. You know, we serve a God whose love cannot be measured by geometrical measurements. We serve a God whose love cannot be measured by how much we do for him. But we serve a God who loves us enough that he gave his only begotten son to die for us. That's love. That's love. So can we comprehend that God loves us, each and every one of us, regardless of how we feel about ourselves. Regardless of what we might be facing in our lives, God still loves us. We serve a forgiving God, a merciful God, a gracious God. And Paul wants them to comprehend that, that that's the God they serve. That's the God they serve. Philippians 4:13 even tells us, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Paul wrote that to the church in Philippi. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. We look at verse 19 in chapter 3. Again, verse 18, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, and depth, and height. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. He prays that they know the limitless love of God. You know, we'll love people when they do right. But can we love them when they do wrong? God can, and God does. And the last part of that 19th verse is my last point. Paul is praying for the fullness of God. To know the love of Christ, which passes understanding, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. Paul is praying for the Ephesians, that they may enter into the fullness of the energies, the power, and the attributes of God. Paul is eager for his people to receive all of the blessings that God is able and willing to bestow, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. It's interesting, as you look back over this book of Ephesians, the first three chapters up until this point deal with the purpose of the church. But then in this section, he starts talking about the fullness of God. That is his prayer. How do you know when you have the fullness of God? I am so glad you want to know. We have the fullness of God when we are strengthened by God through his Spirit. We have the fullness of God when joy overflows in our soul, regardless of what we are going through. There is no true way that we can measure the fullness of God, because it is different from person to person and how we react to God. You know, we live in a society where we like to see certain measurements of what fullness is. We all know that when you fill up your gas tanks, we'd rather for the needle to be more towards F than E. We all know that there are certain things that we like to measure. And quite often, my brothers and sisters, we measure ourselves against other people. We look at how other people praise, how other people testify, how other people express their love for God. And sometimes we wonder, what is wrong with me? I might not feel that way. I might not express that way. Is something wrong with me? No, my brothers and my sisters, because each one of us is unique to God. In the way we worship him, in the way we praise him, in the way we celebrate him, in the way we glorify him, each of us is unique to God. And we have our individual relationship with God. But each of us has the capability of being filled and understand the fullness of God. And that is my prayer for Beacon Light and friends today, that we will grow and know the fullness of God, that we will be able to comprehend the dimensions of God and how deep His love is for us. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians really contains God's promise to us. We can experience the inward power. Christ wants to occupy our lives completely. We can rejoice and live in His divine love. We can be filled with the fullness of God. My prayer is that we will spend time, quiet time with Him, celebrating Him in spite of what it looks like from the outside. Yes, we are banned from moving around freely like we wish to. Yes, we are banned from traveling to certain countries like we might want to. Physically, we are restricted, but spiritually, we are not. We are free. We are free to celebrate God. That is Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus. And it's my prayer to each and every one of us. That is prayer for that inward power that only comes through our relationship with God. That we allow Him to dwell in our hearts and He does not feel like a stranger there. A prayer that we can fully comprehend who God is and what He has done and what He can do and will continue to do. A prayer that we will receive the fullness, not only receive, but we will accept the fullness of God in our lives. That's what this message is about. Having the fullness of God in our lives, as it is a prayer from Paul, where he is physically distanced. It is my prayer also, as we are physically distanced from one another. Embrace God. Let Him be a part of your life. And allow Him to control your every being. God bless you. And I pray that this message has been inspiring and insightful. Allow me to pray. Father, I thank you. I also thank you, Lord, for the one who might be listening or watching, who does not know you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you prick their heart, you prick their spirits, Lord. Lord, to those who think that they are too bad to be loved by you, Lord, I could spend all day talking about saints in the Bible who might have been unlovable, Lord, but you still loved them and cared for them. Father, I pray for that one who does not know Christ to accept Him in his heart, in their heart right now, to believe in Him right now, and to devote their life to following Him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.